drizzle. A lot of us might not think drizzle is really a storm, but drizzle is a storm. To hurricanes, everything in between. There are many different types of storms. There are flurries. There are blizzards. And there's a thing called a mixed storm, which is snow, rain, and ice. Anybody ever have a mixed storm in their life before? Amen. Does everything just mixed up? All of a sudden you're getting hit with four or five different things at once? Yeah, a mixed storm. What's interesting is that every point of the year, there is the potential of a storm. At every point, from January until December, there is the possibility of some type of storm. Follow me. What God is trying to show us and prepare us for is that at every point of your life, there is the potential and the possibility of a storm. At every point. Doesn't matter what season you're in. Doesn't matter what mood you are in. If you're ready or if you're not, there's always the potential and the possibility of a storm. It doesn't matter if you're in a place of abundance or lack. Doesn't matter if you're bound or abased. There's always the potential and the possibility of a storm. There are storms at the top of the mountain, and there are storms in the valley. There's always the possibility and the potential of a storm. Doesn't matter where you go. There's always the possibility of a storm, no matter where you go. So please don't think if I leave here because there's a storm here and I go over there, trust me, there's storms there too. Yeah, I don't care if you go to the desert. There's sandstorms in the desert. Don't think it's just going to be one climate and there is no possibility of a storm. There's a storm wherever you go. You can go to outer space and there's meteor storms out there. No matter where you go, there's always the possibility and the potential of a storm. So in knowing all this, why do we get so shocked, surprised, discouraged, appalled, confused when a storm hits? Oh, when a storm hits, the saints shut it down. Right, Pastor. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45, Jesus said it like this, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. Listen, being a believer in Jesus Christ does not disqualify you from a storm. It doesn't. You aren't disqualified. Just because you are a believer in Christ, that's just saying when it rains, you're just going to have sunshine on you and it's raining on everybody else. It does not work that way, ladies and gentlemen. We are in this world. We're not of it, but we are in it. Being a believer does not disqualify us from a storm. Being a believer means that when the storm hits, you keep on believing. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you shut it down. It doesn't mean that God isn't God anymore. You keep right on believing, just like you did before the storm hit. Are you the same believer in the storm that you are outside the storm? Can you stand the rain? Yeah. On a perfect day, I know that I can count on you. All right, some of y'all get that later. Guys, I was thinking, should I sing this part? Like, all right, I'm not going to sing. I'm not. I know my anointing. I know where I'm at. I know where my lane is. Are you the same believer in a storm that you are outside a storm? Are you one of those saints who praise God outside the storm but are miserable inside the storm? We can't pull a praise out of you. But outside the storm, you got your hands lifted up. You hollering over somebody say anything scripturally relevant. And you go crazy. But let a storm hit. Man. Listen, I've been there myself sometimes. I've been there. We pray outside the storm. We read outside the storm. We fast outside the storm. We do all the things that mark us as a believer outside the storm. But let a storm hit. And we give the appearance that we don't believe or have hope. Did you know that there are people who live the opposite way of this? What do you mean, minister? There was a time in my life when I used to do this too. We only pray inside the storm. We only read scripture inside the storm. We only come to church inside the storm. We only fast inside the storm. But as soon as the storm parts and it's gone and it's sunshine and again, we have the appearance that we don't believe or have hope outside the storm. Listen, it's great. It's a great thing to seek God in the many methods that are available. Great thing. It's a great thing to do those things when there are storms and when there's no storm. But some of us, we only do it either in a storm or out of a storm. We're inconsistent. No matter which method that it is, which side of the fence you live on, it's inconsistency. When are you going to completely buy in with being in a relationship, a covenant with God? When? If you're one of those folks where you just shut it down and you lay your religion down, so to speak, when a storm hits or when you're outside the storm, you have not bought in yet. When? When are you going to fully commit your life to God? When? I fully committed my life to my wife, Carita Park, on December 2nd, 2000. I fully committed. And what that means was, yeah, I put a ring on it. Yeah, I did that. But coupled that action of committing to my wife was a pattern of committed action. Committed action. That action simply says, I'm with you no matter what. I'm with you no matter what happens, no matter what doesn't happen, I'm with you. And some of us, we just got our foot in the water with God. That if this don't work out, I can always just leave. That's not committed, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I committed. I committed to my wife and I said, I'm with you no matter what. And I followed that up by actions that said such, that I'm with you no matter what. I'm with you when it's good. And I'm with you when it's not so good. I'm with you when we agree, and I'm with you when we disagree. I'm with you when you like me, and I'm with you when you don't like me too much. I've been in that space before. But that doesn't change. I'm committed no matter what. My question is, when are we as a body going to fully commit to God like this? To say, I'm with you, God, no matter what. And just to be clear, saved does not make you committed. It doesn't. Saved means you get to go to heaven and not hell. But saved does not make you committed. And it's just like saying you're committed because you're married. No. Being married doesn't make you committed to the marriage. It just means you're married. John, Minister Chris. heart to live for God at every moment, every situation, every storm. Doesn't matter. Be committed to God. No matter what. No matter what happens and what doesn't happen. We're committed to God. Matthew 23:37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. When are you going to fully commit? When? Stop making excuses. It's time to commit your life to God. Or you're going to keep finding yourself in the cycle of back and forth. When we don't commit, we look like some of them guys I talk to who's had a girlfriend for 10 and 20 years that they live with. That's what we look like. That's what we look like. We look like some of them dudes that I minister to. They've been living with their girlfriend for 10, 20 years. That's what we look like. And I'm like, bro, when you going to commit and marry that woman? When? When you going to commit? You know what they say? You know what they say to me? They say, I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure yet. I say, bro, you've been living with this woman for 10, 20 years. Are you just not paying attention? When you going to pay attention? If you don't know by now, bruh, it's been 20 years. See, some of us are laughing at this situation. But there are a lot of us that treat God like a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Yeah, there are many of us who treat God like a friend with benefits. Amen. We just with him so he bless us every now and then. Yeah, some of us only call on God at 2 or 3 in the morning. Okay, all right, all right, all right. Listen, we are to be the bride of Christ, not a hookup with Christ. There are two different kinds of people in life. No matter where you go, you could go anywhere all over the world. There'll be two different kinds of people. There are people who are in a storm, and there are people who are about to be in a storm. And I want to give you just a little bit of encouragement today for those who are in the storm right now and for those who are getting ready to be in the storm. You'll see on the news sometimes when they're calling for a storm and people just start getting the sandbag ready and all of these things, they get prepared. You have to be prepared because I'm telling you, a storm is going to hit at some point of your life. It's going to hit. I got three things I want to give you. Like Pastor says, I'm going to load up my little red wagon. I'm going to get out of your way. Be real quick. Three things. First thing you need to know. For those who are in a storm and for those who are getting ready to be in a storm, number one, you will survive. You will survive. You will. The word survive means continue to live on, to remain alive. You will survive. As we sit here today, here at the upper room, as we sit here today, you've survived every storm you've ever had. Oh, that's praiseworthy right there. You survived every single storm that has ever come into your life. Think back when you thought how hard it was, that you wasn't going to survive, that you cried at night, that you cried out unto God. You survived. Listen. Let's not pass up this moment to praise God right here. You survived every storm that has ever come into your life. I tell you, sometimes it was a point in my life I was in a fetal position crying, didn't think I was going to make it. But I survived. You survived. Everything that tried to come against you, everything that tried to come against your family, you survived. You're still standing. He didn't didn't take you out. He wanted to, but he couldn't. You survived. He couldn't. You thought he had you yourself, didn't you? You thought he was going to win, didn't you? You never thought you were going to be healed. You never thought you was going to get through that. But thanks be to God, his grace and his mercy, he brought you through. And just like you survived that, you're going to survive this. You will survive. You will. I can say that with confidence because we are still here. We're surviving. We're living with it. We're praising with it. We're reading his word with it. We're ministering with it. You will survive. Hallelujah. You may be scarred up. You may be marked up. But you're here. You survive. Hallelujah. You know, the book of Matthew, this is a story that really always fascinated me, this parable that Jesus told, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "All who hear my words and do them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the floods came in, when the storm hit and knocked against the walls, it would not fall because it was built on the rock." Can I tell you, the reason why you're still standing is because you have built your life on the rock. And it also talks about the people who build their house on sand. The foolishness who builds on the sand. When the storm comes, beats against the walls, the house fell apart. The reason why you survive is because of the grace and mercy of God. Please don't get it twisted that had anything to do with you. It was because of the rock. Listen, Maya Angelou said it like this. This is one of my favorite quotes. Maya Angelou said it like this. Every storm will eventually run out of rain. You will survive. I know it seems hard. I know it seems difficult to the people who are in a storm right now, and it feels like you're not going to survive. Will this rain ever stop? Y'all remember the movie Forrest Gump? Y'all seen that movie before? When Forrest Gump was in Vietnam and it just started raining and it didn't stop. He talked about there was like some fat rain, there was stinging rain coming in sideways, rain just seemed to come up from under him. But then one day, it just stopped. And I'm here to tell you, one day it's going to stop raining. It's going to run out of rain. You've outlasted every storm before, and you're going to outlast this. Number two, first thing is you will survive. Number two is in the storm you will expose strength. You will expose strength. Verse 9 in the text we read says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." You're going to expose strength in the storm. The word strength means the intensity of power. If you're like me, every now and then you look back over your life. Have you ever looked back and just thought, how in the world did I get through that? How? How did I get through it? Here's a simple truth. God's strength can't kick in until our strength is out. Scripture says, "My strength is made perfect in what? In your weakness." The strength that is not made perfect, build strength. Sometimes the storm comes to weaken you to the point where God's strength can't kick in. You're trying to fight through the storm. Listen, the Bible says we're to endure temptation. And just like we endure temptation, we are to endure the storm. That's why you build your house on the rock, to endure the storm. We are to endure the storm, not strengthen our way through it, because it won't work. That's why you get so frustrated in the storm, because your strength is running out, and you don't know what you're going to do once your strength runs out. But I'm here to tell you, once your strength runs out is the perfect place to be, because that is the moment when God's strength can kick in. Yeah, allow your weaknesses to build your confidence in God. When you try to strength, you're relying on yourself too much. Stop relying on yourself. Allow the storm to take you to a place where you are weak, and allow God's strength to kick in. Hallelujah. Don't get nervous and begin to waver when you become weak, because God's power is stronger than your strength. God's power is stronger than your strength. You need God. You need God. So allow His strength and stop relying on your own. Verse 10 says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Hallelujah. Lastly, let's see. What was the first thing? You will survive. What was the second thing? The exposed strength. Number three, you will rest. You will rest. Verse 9 says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Rest means any relief from exertion. Any relief from exertion. As believers, this is one of the most unused practices, is rest Christ, or to allow His presence to rest on you. First of all, when the Bible uses rest in this context, it doesn't mean do nothing. It's not what it means. It doesn't mean, like Pastor says, it doesn't mean that you sit on your do nothing. It's not what it means. It means that after you've done all that you can do, you just stand. You just stand. You keep doing what God has called you to do. I know many of us are in a place where we feel like the storm restricts us to a point we can't even do the things that God has called us to do. But that is not true, ladies and gentlemen. You keep on doing what God has called you to do in the midst of the storm. That's what it looks like to rest, is to keep going. That means you have made up in your mind, you know what? I've done everything that I can do. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me. Do you realize there are some storms where they tell you to stay inside? Don't go anywhere. Take shelter. Like when there's a blizzard, Brian Popiel goes out in the blizzard, but Chris Parks ain't going out in the blizzard. If it's a hurricane, tornado, they say, take shelter. Stay inside. But there are some storms that you're going to have to go out in and work. Some storms you take cover, some storms you have to go out and work. I don't know who this is for, but you've been taking cover in a storm you should be working in. Listen, when you go out in a storm, you need to understand and realize that Christ's strength is resting on you. So you can rest in Christ. We worried about everything that's going on that we want to protect. And this, let me tell you something. It's okay to want to protect yourself. But not doing what God has called you to do is not protection. That's disobedience. Listen, you think this corona has anything on Jehovah Jireh, our provider? nothing. After you've done all you can, you just thank, you rest, you work in the thing that God told you to work, and don't stop. See, there are some things that God is going to call us to work out. And you just do what you do. That's it. Do what you can do. That's what it means to rest in God. We rest in the fact that some things can't be fixed with our hands. Man, we get so frustrated when things won't go the way we want them to go that we will just tear it all up. Tear up relationships. Cut off our nose, spite our face. We'll do it. Do what God has called you to do. You press the fact that something can be fixed by you. You don't have to get up and God. We can rest the fact that God is still in control. Has not changed. We can rest in the fact that God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. And I'll think and I'll say, God, He knows exactly what's going on at all times. We rest in the fact that God has not left us. Hasn't. The storm would have overtaken you if He wasn't. You wouldn't have survived the first storm you encountered if God had left. I was told of the very first storm I ever had, like I was being born in the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck. And my mom told me, she said, I didn't even know what was going on. She came in there, put me to sleep, got you out. My mom wasn't in control. She didn't even know what was going on. That was the first storm. If God had not been with me, I would not have survived. There are many of us who can tell these stories that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have been swallowed up. So God knows what He's doing, and He has not left. We can rest with that fact that God is our strength. His power has not changed. His love for us has not changed. His strength. Made perfect are we? Can I tell you that being in a state we best place for you to be? No, not a good feeling for your flesh. But God's strength is not compatible with your flesh. It's not. It's compatible with your spirit. I pray you were blessed by this word. Hallelujah.